SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Here we go, Carver and Lisi with you.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Great to have you with us on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. We have a lot to do this hour. NBA and NHL playoffs, the golf, big baseball slate on Friday that we have to look at. So very, very busy. Solo mission for me, Carver sans Lisi, as Joe is out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. And we are going through all of this action here in front of us in the playoffs, like I said, in the golf, etc. I want to start with this because we got off the other night at like halftime of the Knick Pacer game. So we never really got to dive into this. And the Knicks came back and won that game. They were down 10 at the half to the Pacers. Brunson didn't play the second quarter. He got the shots and he was good to go then. Ananobi left the game for them, and he's not going to play game 3 and probably not game 4 this weekend, which is a bad thing for them, because if you just go and look at what the Knicks record is with Ananobi this season, it is sparkling. And without, it is not the same, that's for sure. And they will head into Indiana for the Game 3. But we didn't get to talk about Carlisle after the game. Now look, there's been a major narrative, it feels like, with all of these Knick games in the playoffs, to the point where it feels like the Knicks aren't even, honestly, I'm going to say, getting like the full credit they deserve for how well they've played. It seems like there's been this constant refereeing and official narrative after every Knick win, or most Knick wins, even in the Philadelphia series, and now here in the first two games against Indiana. Now, I think part of this is because every single Knick game, it feels like, has gone down to the death. Every single game has gone to the end. And when you're playing to the end every night and you're in the last 2 minutes and it's a close game, it's a two-possession game, one-possession game, there's going to be things that get magnified a little bit more. It's not like the majority of these NBA playoff games, which are blowouts, and there really isn't a lot of consequence in the last 5 minutes, and you don't really get to magnify all of those key officials' calls. But every Knick game has come down to the end, so it seems like there's been bad calls in everyone. And I am not going to sit here and tell you that the Knicks have not gotten a couple of favorable calls. They absolutely have. But I think that for Carlisle to sit there, and he's right about, you want to go send your 78 or 79. I can't believe that they found 79 things that were wrong with the official. I mean, calm down with that. But go and do it. I think he got where he crossed the line a little bit was the small market, big market stuff. I don't think that that's the case, and everybody who thinks that the Pacers are now going to get an extremely favorable whistle at home, which most home teams do, that's just the way things always work in the NBA playoffs, think that they're going to get an even extra one because of Carlisle's rant. I actually think might not be the case at all. I think that Carlisle probably upset Adam Silver coaches want to lay the groundwork to get more calls the next game, which is what he was doing. But he kind of put the toe across the line a bit when you bring up that the small market teams don't get treated the same as the big market teams. First of all, the Knicks have sucked forever. Okay? The Knicks have been bad. The Knicks haven't won a championship in like 50 years plus. So to think that the Knicks are some team that has gotten a great whistle for in the history, the last 20 years in the NBA is just nonsense. It is. I mean, maybe, fine, team sucks, they're never in this spot, so we couldn't find out. Sure, you could throw me that as well. But, you know, the Knicks are not some league darling that's been in the NBA Finals four times in the last 10, 15 years. That's just not the case. Would the league be happy if New York went far in the league? I'm sure they would. But they have other teams in small markets that, I mean, Denver's won last year. You have Minnesota. You have Oklahoma City playing well this time around. We've had champions in the past, you know, from quote-unquote smaller markets. I don't think that that was the right way for Carlisle to go about it. I think that he had some valid points, and he kind of screwed a few of them by saying it's a small market, big market thing. I think it's a league-wide officiating situation. And sure, I know people like to believe that, you know, they sit around and they want New York versus L.A. in the finals every single year. They don't ever get that, okay? We watched plenty of years. In the last 25 years, how many San Antonio's versus New Jersey's have we had? You know, for every Boston versus Lakers that you've had in the last 20, 25 years, you know, you get a Toronto Golden State. You get a New Jersey San Antonio. You know, you get a Lakers Indiana. You know, you get, so there's just, I thought it was wrong by him. I think he tried to get his point across just a little too far, talking about small market versus big market. Now, as far as the game's going to go on Friday night, more calls are not aside, I think the Knicks have a big problem on their hands. First of all, they could have obviously lost either of these games at home. The Pacers are coming in here with a lot of gas, especially down 0-2 in this series. The Knicks are banged up. They're not going to have Anunoby, who's so good, and he covered Siakam so well in that game, and Siakam got hot after Anunoby went out. Brunson's banged up, or maybe he isn't. You don't know because you never get the full story, but the guy missed a quarter and a half, played brilliantly in the second half. He's listed as questionable for Friday. He's going to play. Maybe the Knicks shouldn't play. Maybe the Knicks should give him a night off. This line being 7 right now tells me that the Pacers are going to absolutely smash them on Friday night. Smash them. That's what that line tells me. So maybe there is going to be an opportunity for Brunson to get a lot of rest on Friday night. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world for Tom Thibodeau to find out if he's got anybody on that bench that he can actually use. Because right now he ain't using any of them. He's down. He's already lost Mitchell Robinson. He's now lost Anunoby. Don't forget he lost Bogdanovich in the first round also. So a bench that, and a rotation that used to go to 8, went slowly got to 6. And now he's got 5 guys playing 46-plus minutes a night. And that can only last for so long. And if you're going to go that route, it's probably going to be, like we just said, a more officiated game towards the Pacers on Friday night. Tom Thibodeau likes to keep guys out there in blowouts. I got a feeling they're going to get hammered Friday night. And he's going to get a chance to finally give some guys some rest. And maybe you can find out what some other guys could do. Pacers minus 7. That line just stinks. Matias, don't you see Pacers minus 7? Doesn't that say to you Pacers are going to smash them? You see a line like that?
They're going to make every shot in the gym, you know, in Indiana, that's for sure. You know they're going to come out desperate.
I mean, that's an 11-12-point swing from the line at the Garden.
Well, the thing is, I'm with you with the injuries. If Brunson doesn't play or if he has a sprained foot and he's playing injured, you have to sit him because you're not going to win this series without him playing 100%. But right. At the same time, like, how sore is his foot now? Will he be able to produce a 30-point game? Because he's been, you know, the leader.
He's been the leader. There's no doubt about that. I've even had some people tell me maybe they should sit Brunson on Friday night if he's questionable and banged up and kind of just give it a throwaway game. Not so sure I'd go that far, but I wouldn't be keeping them out there if they're down 20 with 7 minutes left in the fourth. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. And he'll be back tomorrow for us here. So, yeah, I'm looking. That's where I'm looking. Minus seven for the Pacers. That total's big again at 223. I really don't have any feel for the total. I don't have a feel for the total because I think the game could be, you know, 125 to 95. So that's why I'm not, you know, the game could be a 25-30 point game. Now, the Knicks haven't had any of these, and maybe I'm not giving them enough credit here. And I just think they're due for a spot to let go of the rope, and up 2-0 this game three in Indiana is one of those spots. You know, they went to Philly 1-1. You know, not as relaxed a situation. Up 2-0, your best player potentially a little banged up. Could see it getting ugly in that one. As far as the late game goes, in the NBA on Friday, Denver's in Minnesota, and they haven't played since Monday, which, of course, is just brutal in itself, that these teams have three full days off. And I get it. They were the series that was set up first, so they played last weekend. They needed games, and they needed them to catch up with everybody else, everyone to catch up with them. Blah, 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 blah. That's a lot of time off in a series like this. And I don't know how to look at this now. If this was on an every other night, like we've had in these other series so far, and Minnesota won the first two games in Denver and was running that high, and they were playing right away again, game three in Mini, I think we jump on the Timberwolves and they ride that wave. I got a feeling that this kind of resets the table a little bit. Yes, the series is still 2-0, but I think that there's been more time for Denver to focus in, lock in, get Murray's head on straight, because who the hell knows what's going on with him. Give Joker a rest for a couple days. I think you're going to get a premium Nugget effort on Friday night. Premium Nugget effort. And I think the 3 days off is going to hurt Minnesota. I think it hurts Minnesota more than anything else, because I think that Denver is going to have enough time to kind of recalibrate. And then you get it to 2-1, and suddenly you got a series again, if they're able to do that. And Minnesota was super impressive in those first two games. Super impressive. Those road performances, I mean, completely smashing them in that game too. Embarrassing the champs on their own court.
The thing is, Carver, about that, you know what's crazy? They even threw the excuse out the window. When I saw that Rudy Gobert wasn't going to play,
yeah,
I thought to myself, okay, so this is a type of game where Minnesota is, you know, not worried about losing, I guess you can say, because he is, you know, the reigning defensive player of the year. He is their defensive captain. Without him in the lineup, it does change things around for them. And the way that they played without him, it just goes to show how in the moment the team actually is. Like, they all believe in each other. I think Minnesota rolls on tomorrow night, man. I think that they get Rudy Gobert back in the lineup. And the thing is, I think this is the perfect team to beat Denver, because you have three bodies going at Jokic back to back to back. If it's not Karl Anthony Towns, it's Rudy Gobert. And if those guys are in foul trouble or they need to sit for a little bit, you throw Naz Reid in there to get a little scrappy. It's like you're talking about high-level bigs, and they could extend the floor. You know, Jokic is getting tired. They don't have another Jokic. You know, I think that Denver right now is kind of stuck in the mud, and I don't think Jamal Murray is healthy. I think he's playing his ass off, but I think he's playing at 75%. I don't think that calf is 100%, and that's why I think that's why he's having trouble on the offensive end against a guy who's guarding him with Anthony with the kid Anthony Edwards. You know, who's just a superstar at the moment.
No, look. You're right about the Gobert and all these situations, and maybe Murray is a little banged up, but I don't think that as well as Minnesota has played, that you're going to get absolutely no pushback from Denver in this series. I just don't believe it. Now, if they lost on Friday night, fine. They won't. They're not winning the. They're not going to come back from 3-0 down. It's going to be four or five games. They're going to be out. But I just still believe Minnesota's going to have a lot more work to do to get these last two games. And it is not going to come very easily for them. I think it's a big Joker night. I think it's a big Joker night. He's like I think the 3 days helps Joker more than anyone else. Even though you say Murray's maybe a little banged up, you get a fresh Joker, it's huge. It's absolutely
huge.
You're
right. You are right. Jokic is the best player in the league. Like, you know, MVP, the whole thing.
This is his night. He's going to win him this game, not anyone else.
The bench shoots lights out again. Like, look at what their bench does. 4-for-8 for Naz Reid from 3. 4-for-7 for Alexander Walker, Shea Alexander's cousin, you know, from three-point land. We're talking about 8 threes out of 15 shots on the bench.
Look, if those guys are gonna keep hammering threes all night, Walker and Naz Reid, then yeah, it's a moot point. I just think you get an all world Joker game on Friday. In fact, Matias, I just wanted to look. What do they got him? 12 assists plus 450. Lock it in. I'm in, baby. How many boards? The most boards they'll give me? 16 boards plus 280. You're gonna get one of those stupid nights from him. 15-12. Huge Joker night to get the Nuggets back breathing a little bit in the Western Conference. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, 159. Great to have you aboard. Talk about it. Carver sans Lisi. Joe is out on assignment here as we've got you getting ready for a lot of this action coming up on Friday and a few other things that we need to do as well. So there you go. I like Indiana and I like Denver on Friday night in the NBA. And a big Joker night. And that's that. Me and Joe did well with that Haliburton stuff the other night too, Matias. We never brought that up. He cleaned the 30. He got past the 25. Joe hit him for most threes in the game. So Haliburton stepped up in a big way, that's for sure.
So Joe's not here. He took his Haliburton.
That's it. Joe got all the Haliburton winnings, and he went out. He probably headed down the GSP to America's Playground. He might have went down there with it. Who knows?
Took Donovan Mitchell over 30 points.
I'll get to that in a minute. Don't worry. That's coming. That is coming. That's for sure. We do have. For the hockey, a couple of games on Friday night. You're going to have a game 3 in Boston between the Panthers and the Bruins. And you'll have game 2 in Vancouver between the Oilers and the Canucks. Let me start with Edmonton, who had a 4-1 lead the other night and completely blew the game. I mean, just this typical Oilers. And we say it all the time, and Pharrell says it, Gabe says it, everybody says it. You know, they really are like the Toronto of the West in Canada. They just really are. They never win these games. They never win these series. They got the best, the most talented player in the world in Connor McDavid. How does he not have any shots on goal in that game one? How does that happen? How do them as a team not get any shots on goal in the third period? Or whatever it was, the first 15 minutes of the third period. Just a completely gutless final 30 minutes from them in that game. And now they're down 1-0, and somehow they're still favored in the series. So riddle me that. Still favored in the series after the way that they blew that game.
You know what I don't understand about that, Carver? I don't understand why the coach doesn't like to use a timeout when a team in hockey is completely, you know, getting swept off the ice in the final period. It's like they keep the timeout in their back pocket for something crazy. But sometimes I think you need a timeout because it's like, oh my God, we just blew the lead, and there's, I don't want to save this for later. We better save it now before we lose the lead. It's like, yeah, why not use a timeout right there when things are completely, you know, avalanching down?
You'd like to think. I think that some of them, Matias, are just so trained in their mind that it has to be, you know, for at the end when I've got the goalie pulled and I need to give my big players a rest and all that. I think that they're so locked in for that that they do lose sight of things. And look, it's an emotional, momentum-driven game. And, you know, I don't know when you call it. I guess after the tying goal, probably. You want to call it after the tying goal? Because they scored like 30 seconds later to take the lead.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because you
settle things down.
When you're winning, you're winning. And then all of a sudden you're not, and it's a brand new game. Because even when you're tied, it feels like you're losing if you blow a three-goal lead. You know what I mean? When they tie it up, it doesn't feel like you're tied up. It feels like you blew the game. So it's like, yeah, when you're tied up, you got to do something. You know what I mean? You got to do something.
Have to do something at that point. And now they really need to do something on Friday night in game number two in Vancouver, as they will have, they are minus 125, so the Canucks are dogs again at home, plus 104. You know, we saw the Rangers be dogs at home the first two games against Carolina. They won both games. So I could see Vancouver doing the same thing. Same deal, winning both. I think that Vancouver's going to win this series. And, you know, I think that another over, too. I don't see any reason why these teams aren't going to play 4-3, 5-4 type of games every single night and get you over the 6.5. So I'm going to go right back at it with the over. The other game's going to be fun, too. We'll talk about that. Florida and Boston, that series is 1-1. We haven't had a lot of 1-1 series in either of these leagues. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid, 844-843-6879. All right, Matias, now that this is over, I want to get into this. So the Cavs win game two in Boston, 118-94. Me and you were talking at the end of the third quarter, saying this is going to go one way or the other. Either the Celtics are going to show you within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the fourth quarter that they got a little heart and they care about winning this game, and they'll probably end up winning it outright. Or the Cavs are just going to keep this around 15 and Boston's going to let go of the rope and quit. And sure enough, they let go of the rope and quit in a big way. Cleveland outscored them 28-16 in the fourth quarter. 118-94 was the final. Before I bash the Celtics a little bit, Matias, I just want to say, you did say it was what was the words you used? That Mitchell was going to get to 30?
I think I said it was a gimme. A gimme.
It was a gimme. And what did I say to you?
There's no such thing as a gimme in sports gambling.
Yeah. He finished with 29. He didn't play the last 4.5 minutes of the game.
Not only did he finish with 29, Carver, he missed the layup at the end of the game and dropped his short. It should have been 31. He missed the layup and killed the whole thing and looked at me in the face and said, mush.
So you played him to 30. You did play that that bet.
I did. I dropped the minus 156. What a sad day. What a sad day.
Wow. Now, here's what I'll say about this. I know that the Boston Celtics are the absolute, no doubt about it, best team, favorite to win the NBA Finals. What are they now? What even after that win? Let's see here. They lose game two. They're still minus 115 to win the championship. That's after losing this game two to Cleveland. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're going to lose this series. Okay? They lost game two to the Miami Heat in the first round, and they had no problem whatsoever. Here is what I would be concerned about going forward with them. Watching that game, there's a couple things that stick out to me. Number one, They are an absolute front-running team. They get up big, and they bully you, and they get up by 15, 20 points, and they got guys like Derek White hitting threes and doing all that stuff, and they just bludgeon you, and they beat you. They don't play any close games. They haven't yet in the playoffs. Even the two games they lost, they got smashed in the second half, both the Miami game and this Cleveland game here on Thursday night. And just, you know, their fans are all sitting there with this big puss on their face. I guess they expected them to go 16-0 and win the championship. Now, they're going to end up eventually playing a team that is going to wrap them in the mouth. Now, it could be the Knicks in the next round. And by what I mean by that is, obviously the Cavs did that to them in Game 2, but the Cavs aren't, they don't have enough talent that they're going to be able to do that for three more games. They just not. Just like Miami didn't in the first round. Celtics have so much more talent than Miami and this Cleveland team that they, even though they play a game like this where they completely act like they didn't care and they quit, their talent is so much wider that they're going to win no matter what. When you get down to the last four teams and they win this series, whether that's the Knicks, which they're up 2-0 against the Pacers, and we'll see what their injury situation is, or if it's the NBA Finals, whether they play Minnesota, OKC, Denver somehow comes back, whatever. They're going to play a team where the talent gap isn't as wide. And they're going to get punched in the mouth. And when they get punched in the mouth, they don't respond to it very well. They're a front-running team that doesn't like what happened to them. Like it gets a little hard like it did in the second half against Cleveland. They just go, all right, you know what, forget it. We're just we'll see you in game three. We'll just beat you by 25 then. That's not gonna work against those other great teams they're gonna play in the last two rounds. It's not gonna work. And it was 64-18 this year, and they've got Tatum and Brown. You trust these guys in a big spot? I don't. Minus 115 with eight teams left? I'm sorry. I don't see it. Matias, you're buying the Celtics as the no doubt about it? We got to go win the end. Minus 115 with eight teams left?
No. I can't trust that Celtics team, but I haven't trusted them all year. I've always thought – I thought they're a good basketball team that has great players, but I do think that when the game gets tough, I don't see them coming out on the winning end of it. You know, the Clippers beat this team by 40 points in Boston not that long ago. You know, so a team like that can't lose by 40 points to the Los Angeles Clippers. You know what I mean? And that's what the Clippers did. So, but when I look at the Celtics team, it's like if Tatum isn't dropping 40 a game, they're not going to win a championship. They need him to be an Anthony Edwards type of player.
He's just not.
Tatum has been that guy.
He's just not. I just don't think these guys have the juice that everybody gives them. I just don't. And look, do I think they're more talented than the Knicks? I do. I think that will they be? Of course, they're going to be big favorites against the Knicks if that's the matchup. But I'll tell you one thing. The Knicks play tough. And the Knicks are going to win games in that series. Just on the pure fact that they are going to be a tougher team than Boston. And Boston doesn't, they don't like this. They just want to, you know, run up and down the court and win by 25 every night. It ain't going to work, man. They might beat the Knicks, but they're going to get pushed.
Will elevate his game, though.
I don't.
I think that if the Boston Celtics play the Knicks, I think Tatum will elevate his game in that series. I don't know why he hasn't done it in this series.
I don't think he has.
I like Jason Tatum.
He's a super talented player.
Yeah,
he doesn't have that extra gear.
Yeah, that's what the knock on him has always been, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to stay with that knock. I don't think he's got the extra gear.
We hit it last week, Carver. Remember when Denver was going to play Minnesota in Game 1? And what did Joe say? We should take Minnesota Game 1. And I said, why don't we just take him to win the championship? And you said right away, it's like, yeah, you know, I think he's right. Like, if we're going to take Minnesota, forget Game 1. Let's take him to win the championship. And I think if we took that bet, which I did last week, I'm feeling pretty good, even though if they lose. Like, right now, I feel like we're in the driver's seat with this Minnesota ticket that we took last week before Game 1.
Those are the spots when you do that stuff. And we talk about it a lot, that if you like it, when you get to this point in the playoffs, and there's 8 teams left, 4 teams left, etc. And you think a dog is going to win a series, take them, just take their ticket to win the whole thing. That's I just feel like it's a better, and I get it. You want to get the ticket then. You want to win it when the series is over. You don't want to sweat out any further. I just think that's the way to go. Like, I still think the Knicks have, like, they're giving you 16-1 right now for the Knicks to win the whole thing. They're giving you 16-1 for the, you know, there's plus 550 for the Thunder. Like, there's just, you know, minus 115 for the Celtics just makes absolutely no sense to me. It just doesn't. It's just being, it's being booked on pure talent. And they're missing a few things aside from the pure talent that they have. And those things are going to come out when they play better teams. So I'd be very, very nervous if I was a Celtic backer, watching them in the way they give up in these games that they've lost. Man, you can't win by 25 every night. Eventually, you got to dig in a little bit and give a little pushback. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SiriusXM Channel 159, 844-843-6879 is the number. All right, so the other hockey game on Friday night is Florida and Boston. This goes back to Boston at 1-1 now. After the, it's weird because in that series, the scores I didn't feel were very indicative of how those games were played. You know, you had Boston win 5-1 in Game 1. You had Florida win 6-1 in Game 2. Those games were a lot closer than that. You know, the teams kind of ended up getting a little out of control in the third. Now, this Game 2 got really out of control in the third with all the fights that went on. And look, I think that these teams have now, they played last year in the playoffs, they're playing this year in the playoffs. There's clear hatred between the two things. And that's good for hockey. That's good. That's good for the rivalry. That's good for the sport. And they will now carry that into a game number 3. Florida is a slight favorite on the road, minus 125. You have a 5.5 total in this game. We've gone over in the first two games because of those situations that we just mentioned. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen here in Game 3. I think that the buckle gets put down a little bit in Game 3. I like the under 5.5 for Florida and Boston. And in fact, I think this is the, you know, we haven't gotten an overtime game. Obviously, you had a 5-1, 6-1. We've seen overtimes in the Ranger-Carolina series. We've seen overtime already in the Colorado and Dallas series. I think we might finally get an overtime in this one. I've been kind of picking my spots with the overtime plays here in the playoffs. And I think I'm going to go back to it here. I have Florida for the series, so I'd like to see them win. It's really the under 5.5 for me. That's where I'm going to stick and be with for this game here. Maybe Pasta score. Pasta's been quiet here over the first two. Gets ignited after the fight. Maybe he pops in one or two for the Bruins. But that's where I would be looking for that.
How about we do that? How about we do a two-goal parlay right here? Matthew Tkachuk to get a goal. Pasternak to get a goal. The two guys that scrapped it out both get on the goal scorers list.
I got that checking in at plus 590 for Tkachuk and Pasta to score. I don't mind it. I could definitely get involved with that. I got no problems there for that situation, that's for sure. So you want to take Tkachuk and Pasta to score?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tkachuk, a goal-scoring machine in the playoffs. Doesn't matter who it's against, he produces in the playoffs. And Pasternak, I gotta say, the heart that he showed and the way that he asked his coach, let me go out there and fight this guy real quick when they're down losing the game, it just goes to show me, you know, what he's gonna be telling somebody in the locker room after the game and who's gonna be ready to go in the next game. And that's definitely gonna be him.
They have, right now, actually they have this, this is all locked up on me, and I know why. I'll go back to that if they end up popping that back up. So there you go. The two games for Friday night. You get Panthers, Bruins, and Oilers, Canucks in the late game. Under for me in the first game. Over for me in the second game. And I lean to Florida and Vancouver in terms of winning those two games. As far as baseball goes on Friday, very, very heavy slate that we have. Very heavy. Cubs and the Pirates are in PNC. We don't have starters listed yet. Obviously, Skeens is going to come up on Saturday, and he's going to pitch for the Pirates, so that's going to be outstanding. You have the Astros and the Tigers. So the Astros, who scraped one out at the stadium against the Yankees on Thursday late afternoon, now head to Detroit for the weekend to see their old manager, A.J. Hinch. Mize against Framber Valdez, as the Astros are a road favorite in that one. We have the Yankees go to Tampa. Clark Schmidt will face Taj Bradley. Yankees minus 142 and an 8.5. Tampa's always been a problem for the Yankees down there. Always been trouble when they head down there. Arizona, after taking a series in Cincinnati, is in Baltimore against the Orioles. Brandon Pfaadt against Cole Irvin. O's minus -136 and an 8.5 total there. We've a lot of 8.5s on Friday night for totals. Minnesota's in Toronto. Jersey Joe Ryan against Kikuchi. Getting the ball here. Jays minus -112. There's a 7.5. The Braves and the Mets will be at Citi Field. In fact, Matias, I'll be at this game. The Braves and the Mets on Friday night.
Oh,
because that's why I'm not in. I've got to take the Little League. I've got the team. We're going. It's Little League night at Citi Field, and they're letting the kids go on the field before the game, do a little parade around the warning track, things like that. So that's where I'll be Friday night, is at Citi Field for Charlie the Fisherman Morton and Jose Quintana. So you know what I'll be doing on Friday night, Matias. What do you think I'm going to be playing?
I think you're going to be playing everything.
And I think you're going to be playing.
You're going to take your kids. And
taters.
And you're going to make
tater time for the Braves.
Come true.
Tater time for the Braves is what I'm going to be playing. Tater time, baby.
If you're there, you're taking the Braves, baby. Everything Braves.
Oh, yeah. No, well, look, minus 156. But I'm absolutely going to be involved with some home runs for them. I'll get all the Friday morning. I'll do all the legwork in terms of all the guys' numbers against Quintana. We'll see who's got the best ones. The Phillies are in Miami against the Marlins, Suarez and Rogers. Nats are in Boston against the Sox, Patrick Corbin against Houck. Guardians and the White Sox again, and that's a get. Look, that's a 7.5. Carrasco and Garrett, don't call me Davy Crockett. That's an over, baby. That's an over, the Guardians and the White Sox on Friday night. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you. All right, before we get out of here, let me give you the rest of the baseball. I still had a few games left. Cardinals are in Milwaukee again. Lance Lynn's going. That's an 8.5 with the Brewers minus 134. Texas is in Colorado this weekend. Get your Texas home run plays in. Gomber's on the mound at Coors Field. That'll get ugly. Royals and the Angels again in Anaheim. You got Marsh and Canning. The Dodgers are in San Diego this weekend. They will throw Tyler Glass now against Michael King in the opener. Dodgers minus 168 with a flat 8. The Mariners are going to get Brian Wu making his first start of the year. He's been on the IL since the start of the year. And he comes back, and he'll have Oakland in town. That's a good way to start. Although, to be fair, Oakland's got some guys who have been mashing the ball lately. I mean, they got a few guys, Rooker, Langeliers. They got a few guys who have been hitting a ton of homers recently, so maybe not so much that for Wu. Minus 142 for Seattle and a 7.5. And the Giants have Cincinnati in town for the weekend. Logan Webb against Abbott. Giants minus 162 and a 7.5 out in San Francisco for us there. So that it is. That is the table for Friday night. You got everything on it, and don't forget you got the golf too. Let's not forget the golf, which, of course, you have two tournaments going on. You have the Wells Fargo with Schauffele taking the three-shot lead into Friday. And there was obviously, we talked with Keith earlier about them, some very controversial dealings with him on his second and last hole. He played the front nine second today, so he was on eight. And he hit a ball way right into the trees. Got some just ridiculous relief. He should have lost a couple of shots. And instead, he gets a great relief outside of the junk that he hit it in, chips it right onto the green, ends up making par. And he's got a three-shot lead now. He's plus 190 live, which is, you know, kind of silly considering there's three rounds left. And he's, you know, let's just say not the best at closing the door on the weekend if we want to be as kind as we possibly can. For him. Morikawa is in the mix. Rory's in the mix. JT's there. Alex Noren playing well for a second week in a row as well. And there's a few guys. Listen, three rounds to go. You know, we were mentioning Wyndham Clark. He had an awful Thursday. He's only four or five shots out of getting back in the top ten. You got some top ten tickets on Wyndham Clark. You can add another one now at a pretty good price. If he can claw his way back into the top 10, kind of like what he did at the RBC, he's plus 450 for a top 10 right now. And he plays great on that course. So that's something to keep in mind, too, as you get yourself ready for the weekend. You also have the Myrtle Beach, where Bo Hostler and Bobby Mack are in the lead. We, of course, have Bobby Mack at a very big ticket. He's live. He's 11-1. Toasty, who me and Joe love, he's in, tied for third, I believe. I think he's one shot back. And he's 14-1 live. So hopefully Bobby Mack and Toasty can give us a little ride down there at Myrtle this weekend. That would be very helpful if they were able to do that. Matias, since I won't see you tomorrow, what do I got on Saturday night with this UFC? Who's fighting? Is it a, let me guess.
Carver, it's, we got a lot, man. You know what?
Derek Lewis is fighting. He's still fighting, Derek Lewis? Jeez.
He is still fighting. He's a main event. He's pissed off that he's a main event. He'd rather be the co-main. He's sick of five-round fights. He said he's sick of five-round fights, but supposedly he's in the best shape of his life. But I can't play Derek Lewis. I have no faith in him. When I play him, I lose. When I bet against him, I lose. So I just stay away from Derek Lewis right now. But I do like Ruzibov at plus 110. And my must play right here, the Diamond Crypto Special, as Joe likes to call it. I'm parlaying Ulberg as well as Despain. Right now, Despain is minus 245 and Ulberg is minus 280. You know, that's going to be a pick'em price right there if you parlay them together. And I need them myself because I have a four-leg piece right now, and those are my final two legs that need a hit for me to win this bet.
You can put him with the
Ulberg
golf.
And Despain.
Put him with the golf. I see him here. Despain and Ulberg. Get him going for a fight night card on Saturday night with Matias. Great job as always, Matias. You and Joe will be here.